I want to welcome you to our worship assembly this morning, and we are grateful for your presence here today. If you got your Bible with you, if you just hold it up, keep it up. Grass withers, flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Join me, if you would, in Psalm 127 this morning. Psalm 127. We have been on a mini journey, that means a small journey, through the book of Psalms. And we're not looking at every psalm. We're not looking at even every other psalm. We're looking at one psalm from each of the five different divisions in the Psalms. And I've said that as you think about how you classify the psalms, you can do it in many different ways. One of the ways is every one of those different divisions tells us something about the nature of God and the characteristics of God. And so I've really kind of called this series How God's Grace Meets Us in Our Sometimes Very Complicated Lives. You know as well as I do, just looking around you this morning at how different things are, that life can get a little bit complicated sometimes. And yet God's grace is there to meet us. I want to talk this morning, as we wrap this series up today, about how God's grace meets us in the midst of our busyness. Now, you might hear me say that and you might think, it's a little bit strange, Mark, to be thinking about busyness right now. Because for some of us, our lives are a lot of things, but one of those things for some of us is probably not busy. I mean, things have just kind of slowed down a little bit, and maybe you're not able to do some of the things that you were doing before, and so your life's not as busy as it was. That's true for some of us. You know what else I've discovered is true, though, as I've been keeping up with people and watching them on Facebook and hearing them talk about what's going on in their lives? I have discovered that for a lot of people, maybe you, they are busier now in the midst of all this than they were before all of this started. And so we need to think about this. And even for those of us who maybe the pace of our life is a little slower than it was, two things are true about us. One is, it's probably not always going to be that way, and things are going to speed back up a little bit. And two, even though in some ways maybe the pace of our life has slowed, if you look at other things in our life, it probably isn't really any slower than it was. And so before all of this changes, we need to spend a little bit of time thinking about how God meets us in our busyness. And what does God have to say about our just crowding our lives with busyness? I don't think I have to tell you, y'all live in the same culture I do, that in our culture, it's almost a badge of honor to say that you're busy. Right? We greet each other. Hey, how you doing? And then the person says, well, I'm busy. And they mean that as a good thing. They're saying, hey, I'm busy. That's good. I do that all the time. Y'all may have noticed me, if I've done this with you sometime over the years, I'll say, hey, how you doing? Are you staying, what, busy? Are you staying busy? And inevitably the response is, yeah, I'm staying busy. And my response to that typically is, great! It's like a badge of honor in our culture to say that we're busy. We sometimes think of busyness as a virtue. And the truth is, hard work is a virtue. I wouldn't argue with that. God made us, God commanded us to work. And so working hard and showing initiative and doing the things that need to be done, those are all good things. God called us to that. God created us for that. But when I'm talking about busyness, I'm talking about just cram-packing our lives with so much stuff that we wind up operating beyond our capacity. Here's how I'm defining busyness this morning, if I can get the clicker to click. I'm talking about the act of expending my energy and my time and my attention beyond my capacity. Here's the truth. All of us have a capacity. Now, our capacity is different. Yours is different from mine, and mine is different from yours. But we all have a capacity. And so when we push ourselves beyond what we can do, what we're capable of doing, then busyness becomes a problem. A real problem in our lives. And many times, if we're honest, underneath and underlying this chronic busyness, I don't, please hear me, I don't mean I'm not talking about just those seasons in our lives where maybe we just got to do this, because right now this season of my life calls for me to just do this and I just got to do this. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about chronic busyness, where this is just how my life always is. Underneath that characteristic in my life often is the attitude that says, I've got to do this, I have to push, I have to do this, because it all depends on me. It all depends on me. Listen, God does not want you to live your life thinking it all depends on you. He doesn't want me to live my life thinking it all depends on me. He wants us to learn to live in such a way that we depend on Him and we trust Him. And that's what the Word of God talks about in Psalm 127. It's written by King Solomon. If you know anything about King Solomon, this was a busy man. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. But we're just going to look at verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 127, just two verses. And from those two verses, I want to give you three principles about busyness that I hope we will take to heart and apply to our lives. Here's the first principle I want you to see. The Word of God shows us this. It is God's power, not your busyness, that can build your life and your family. It's God's power, not your busyness, that can build your life and build your family. Look at what Solomon says in the first part of verse 1. He's talking about building something. And he says in the first part of verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Now, he's talking about a house here. Now, this could be any house, but probably there's one particular house that Solomon had in mind, and that would have been the Lord's house. It would have been the temple there in the city of Jerusalem. That was the house God had given Solomon the responsibility for building, right? God said, David, you're not going to build the temple. That's going to be for Solomon to do, and Solomon did it. You go back and read the Old Testament. He organized the project. He had guys doing this and guys doing that. He organized it. He built it. He knew a thing or two about building projects, right? And yet, what did Solomon say? Unless who builds the house? The Lord. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Doesn't matter how hard they work. Doesn't matter how skillful and creative they are, it is in vain if the Lord isn't building the house. Folks, that's a picture of life. It's a picture of our families. It's a picture of our lives. If they're being built by anything other than God's power, then it's all in vain. And by the way, you might want to circle that word vain, because it's found several times in these verses. It's a word that means absolutely empty. Not kind of empty, not sort of empty, absolutely empty. If I could give a visual to you. Sometimes you know your gas needle is there on E. You know, y'all know what I'm talking about? Your gas needle gets over there on E. This word describes two or three clicks down below E, where some of y'all drive all the time. Am I right? So where some of y'all live. Y'all live two or three clicks below E. My wife's not here. We're not live streaming. My wife lives. Don't y'all tell her I said that. But it's like, put gas in your car. What are you doing? But this is that word. It just means there's nothing there. Solomon says, if someone other than the Lord is building your life or building your family, it is empty, no matter how impressive your accomplishments may be, no matter how busy your life may be. Only God has the power to build a life or build a family that ultimately is anything other than empty. That's what Solomon is saying. Man, so many times we fill our lives with all this busyness, with things we think are making a difference. And maybe outwardly they look impressive, and maybe it's filling our time and filling our days and giving us something to do. But the Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord is building your life and building your family, those who build it labor in vain. It's three clicks below E. It's just empty. You say, well, what does Solomon really know about it? Well, let's see what Jesus said. Maybe Solomon knew what he was talking about. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, y'all read this with me, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Not some things, not a few things. Jesus said, apart from me, you can't do anything of any lasting value. From an eternal perspective, the only way we can make a difference, the only way our lives can matter, is to abide in Christ. That just means to have a relationship with him and to depend upon that relationship with him. And as we do that, he bears his fruit through us. And in another place, the Bible says it's fruit that will remain. In other words, it's going to last. It's going to make a difference. But apart from him, we can't do anything that lasts. We can't do anything that ultimately matters. And so the Bible says it's God's power, not your busyness, that's going to build your life and build your family. Let me show you a second principle from our text in Psalm 127. Solomon also tells us that it's God's protection, not your busyness, that can defend your life and your family. Look at what he writes at the end of verse 1. He moves from talking about building something to talking about watching over a city. He says, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And again, the city that he's talking about here is more than likely the city of Jerusalem, the city where the temple, the house of God, was located. This was the city that would have been on Solomon's mind. And if you look at the geography and topography of Jerusalem, it was a city that was literally on a hill, and so it had some natural defenses built into it. But then Solomon would have also, as king, made sure that this is a city that would have been walled. This is a city that would have had watchtowers scattered throughout the wall with watchmen whose job it was to stay awake and to watch and to look and to see if anybody's coming to attack the city. Solomon knew about guarding a city. But what did Solomon say? Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. Again, it's absolutely empty. It's below E. There's nothing there. God's protection, not my busyness, not your busyness, is essential if we're going to defend our life and defend our family. So many times, we take on the things that we take on because we say or we think, okay, if I don't keep saying yes to these things, then I'm not going to have what I need. If I don't keep saying yes, if I don't keep taking all these opportunities, if I don't just keep taking the next job or the next assignment or the next task, if I don't just keep crowding my schedule with all of this stuff, then I'm not going to have what I need. My family's not going to have what it needs because it all depends on me. It all depends on me. Listen, it doesn't all depend on me. And it doesn't all depend on you. So guard yourself against chronically stretching yourself beyond your capacity and saying yes to things you ought to be saying no to. Now, I want you to think this morning about your cell phone. Probably you have yours with you. If you didn't, you would have gone back home to get it because you would feel naked without it, most of us, right? Some of you probably would say, no, I'd be glad. Well, I'd be glad not to have it, but we have to have them, right? There's a feature that my cell phone has that I bet yours has on it too. I'll typically charge my phone overnight. I'll get up in the morning and I'll have a full charge. Or if it doesn't need to be charged the night before, it'll be pretty high when I get up in the morning. But as I go throughout the day, maybe you notice on yours what I notice on mine. Depending on how much I use it, it might get down pretty low. And there's a point that you reach where this thing starts giving you a warning signal. Maybe 20%, something like that. It starts saying, hey, what are you doing, man? Slow down. You know, ease up a little bit. And if I keep going, which I often will, just keep plowing right on through, what's going to happen eventually? It's going to give you another warning signal, right? When you get to maybe 10% or 5%, it's going to warn you again and say, hey, you are about to get into the danger zone. You are about to exceed your capacity, your battery's capacity. I want to give you some warning signals this morning that might be a sign that you have exceeded your capacity. that you are about to enter into the danger zone. Now, I will tell you about these 10 things I'm going to give you. They're not original with me. That's the first thing I would tell you. The second thing I would tell you is they don't necessarily mean that you're too busy. There are some other explanations for why these things might be true in your life. But I'm telling you, if a bunch of these things are true, and if you're going down the list going, you might want to think about it because you might be too busy. Here they are. If you don't get anything else I say this morning, it's cutting off the other side of it there for some reason. If you don't get anything I say this morning, I hope you'll jot these down, and I hope you'll think about them this week. Number one, if you hardly ever see your family, you may be too busy. You say, well, Mark, I see them every day when I pass them in the hall. I'm not talking about passing them in the hall. I'm not talking about seeing each other going to and from and back and forth. I'm talking about real time you spend with your family. If you hardly ever see your family, you might be too busy. Here's the second one. If you're unable to be present in the moment with the people in the room with you, you might be too busy. Does this sound familiar to you at all? You're with people. You're around people, you're in the room physically present with people, but you're not in that room. You are no more in that room than the person outside in the parking lot is in this room. You're not there. You're physically there. You're not there. You are thinking about the last conversation that you had. You are thinking about what it is that you need to do next. You are not present in the room. Or, here's the one that gets us sometimes, we're spending family time with our loved ones. But all the while, we're doing this. Got to check my email. Just give me a second. I got to check my email. Y'all hold on. I got to make sure I didn't get a text. You're not present. You're not there with the people in the room with you. If you just can't be present, you're probably too busy. Again, it might mean other things, but it could mean you're just too busy. Here's another one. If everything is an emergency to you, everything is urgent, everything just has to be done right now. If I don't do this right now, then they're gonna not think of me the way I want them to think of me. If I just don't take care of this right now, everything is an emergency to you, you're probably too busy. If you struggle to focus on one task for longer than 10 minutes, you might be too busy. You're doing something, maybe you're trying to read or you're looking at something on your computer and you're working on this project and something else pops up on the screen or something else pops into your mind and then you got to go and you got to go take care of that. If you just can't focus on one task for longer than 10 minutes, it could mean that you're too busy. You struggle to make decisions, whether they're big decisions, whether they're little decisions. You just can't ever seem to settle on a decision. That could mean a lot of things, one of which is maybe you got too much going on. You're just too busy. Here's another one. You keep forgetting things. That may also mean you're aging, as I'm discovering all too well. There's other explanations for some of these things. But if you just chronically begin to forget things, I don't mean every once in a while. I mean, but you forget appointments all the time. You forget important dates all the time. Or even deeper, you can't really think about or remember what's going on in anybody else's life other than yours. It could mean you're too busy. You forget that your friend was having surgery, or you forget that this was, it's all focused on yourself. If you just keep chronically forgetting things, it could mean you're too busy. You become exhausted easily. Now, I'm not talking about being tired at the end of the day. It's probably a good thing that you're tired at the end of the day, all right? I'm talking about just being absolutely deflated at the beginning of the day, before anything else ever even starts. That could be a sign you're too busy and you need to look at your schedule. Your living space or your workspace is always messy. Could mean you're too busy. Could also mean you're lazy. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're too busy, but it could mean, yeah, your desk, you just never get around to cleaning your desk off. Y'all, please don't go look in my office right now. Don't do that. You will go, mm-hmm. Your living space just always is a little bit messy. Could be that you're too busy. Now, I'll give a caveat to that. If you're a teenager, okay, and your room is never clean and it's always messy, it may not mean that you're too busy. All right? Don't go home. Don't try that with mom, right? Mom, preacher said that if my room is always messy, it probably means I'm too busy. No, that won't fly. It could be some other things, too. Here's another one. You're constantly lonely. You see, what do you mean? I just mean this. It seems that when we often invite this busyness into our lives, that what happens is the most important relationships in our lives kind of get pushed to the margin. It's not because we don't love those people, and it's not because we don't value those relationships. It's just that all this other stuff just creeps in, and those kind of things just get pushed aside, and then we begin to experience loneliness. Imagine that. And so if you're constantly lonely, it could mean you've pushed the most important relationships in your life to the side because of all this other stuff that you are doing. And then here's the last one. If you're unhappy all the time and you don't know why, that may be a sign you're too busy. Here's what we do. Sometimes there's something in our lives that isn't right. Maybe our relationship with God isn't right. Maybe our relationship with somebody else isn't right. But there's something in our life, some relationship that's not right. And we know it's not right. And yet, we think to ourselves, okay, what I'll do is, instead of dealing with that, I will medicate myself with busyness. And I will fill my life and fill my schedule with so much stuff that I don't have time to think about the fact that this relationship over here isn't right. What happens is, though, the unhappiness is still there, and it's still there, and we wonder why it's still there. It's because you walked right past this relationship that isn't right to do all this other stuff, and it's still not right, right? You know, it could be maybe this morning your relationship with God isn't right. It doesn't matter how much stuff you fill your life with. If you don't deal with that, you're not going to find happiness. It could be that there are marriages in this room this morning that are not what they ought to be. And maybe, you know, even as a couple, you're filling your life with all this stuff that you're doing, but you're not dealing with the relationship. And the unhappiness is still there. Those are just some warning signs. Think about your cell phone. Think about that low battery sign. These are some warning signs that we need to take to heart when we think about our lives and our schedules. I hope you'll think about those this week. Because it is not our busyness, it is God's protection that will defend our lives and defend our families. And then last of all, I want you to see this. The Bible says it is God's grace, not your busyness, that will sustain your life and sustain your family. Look at verse 2. Solomon begins to talk about somebody who's just worried all the time about everything in their lives. It's keeping them up late at night. It's causing them to wake up early in the morning. They're busy all day long. He says, "It is in vain, it's empty, that you rise up early and you go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil." And so in verse 1, he talks about somebody who is busy, 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 working all the time. And then he talks about somebody who's busy, 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 watching all the time, trying to protect his family, protect himself. And then in verse 2, he starts talking about somebody who's busy, 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 just worrying all the time. Always fearful and always worried and anxious about life all the time. And Solomon says, it is vain. That's empty. It's meaningless to get up early in the morning and to go to bed late at night because you're just trying to do all this on your own. He says you eat the bread of anxious toil. Even when you eat your meals, even when you sit down to eat your food, you're worried and you're anxious about everything. And then look at the promise at the end. I love this. He says, it's in vain to get up early. It's in vain to go to bed late. It's in vain to be eating your meals and all the while being anxious because you think all of this just depends on you. He says, it's in vain because He gives to His beloved sleep. Think about that. It's in vain for you just to do all of this and get up early and stay to bed late. And, oh, I'm just anxious and, oh, I'm just worried. He says that's empty because God gives to His beloved sleep. Now, there's a couple of different ways that you can interpret that Hebrew phrase. It can go one of two ways. It could simply mean that He gives sleep, God gives sleep to His beloved. He gives sleep to those He loves. One of the things that often gets pushed to the side in our lives when we're filled with this busyness and all of this hectic stuff in our lives, one of the things that often gets sacrificed is sleep. God says, listen, you need rest. You need to rest. You need it desperately, and He will give you that if you let Him. That's one way to look at the phrase. But there's another way it could be interpreted. It could be that God is saying, for He gives to His beloved even while they sleep. Think about that. Even while you sleep, God is not asleep, right? You can go on to sleep. You can go ahead and rest because guess who's still up? God is. You're anxious and you're worried and you're busy and it all depends on you. Listen, go to bed. God's still up. And God is still going to keep giving, and He's still going to provide and take care of you if you trust Him. See, here's what I've learned. Well, I shouldn't say it that way. I haven't learned it as if I've mastered it and now I've moved on. Here's what I'm learning. How about that? Here's what knowing God will sustain you will do. When you're trusting Him, you can begin to say yes to the things you ought to say yes to. And you can begin to say no to the things you really ought to say no to. You can begin to say no to those things that sometimes tempt you because you think, well, I need this money, or man, I need this job, or I need to do this because this person won't view me the same way if I don't do this. You can begin to say no to those things God does not have for you because it's not your business, it's His grace that will sustain your life and sustain your family. And so as we finish up today, I want to give you a challenge this week. I want you to honestly take a look at your schedule, whether it's your literal calendar or whether it's just your pace of life. Right now, that calendar may not be as full as it was 4 months ago, but the pace of your life is still there. Sit down with that and sit down with these questions and spend some time asking yourself these and thinking about them. Are you making time for what matters most? Are you making time, not finding time or hoping there's time? Are you making time for what matters most? Are you prioritizing time alone with God each day? Are you making that a priority? If you don't, you won't. Are you willing to say no? For some of us, that's hard. Are you willing to say no? Because sometimes you need to say no. And then the last one, this was the big one. This is really the broad question. Does your schedule reflect dependence on God or dependence on yourself? That'll show up in your schedule. Are you living your life depending on God or are you depending on you? God wants us to depend on Him. That's the way He wants us to live our lives. That's the way He wants us to face eternity. Depending not on ourselves, but depending on Him. There's so many people who think, man, if I could just live good enough and do enough good things, and if I could just read my Bible enough and pray enough and do good things for other people enough, I can make myself so good that God will say, man, you're so good, I'm going to save you because of how good you are. That's not how it works. The Bible talks about how our righteousness is nothing but a filthy garment to God. The best we have is nothing to Him. God doesn't want you depending on yourself as you think about your eternity. He wants you depending on Jesus and what Jesus has done. And the fact that I've surrendered my life to Him and now in Him God sees me through the righteousness of Christ. So, have you given your life to Jesus? If the answer to that is no, we'd love to tell you more about that. find me after services. I'd love to talk to you. Or maybe if you have given your life to Jesus, are you living your life day by day depending on Him as a Christian? Maybe today you need us to pray with you because that's a struggle for you. One of our shepherds will be here after the service is over. Look him up. There's several of them that are here. I'll help you find them. And they'd love to pray with you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning. God, thank you for this text. Thank you for your word. God, help us even in this time where maybe our lives aren't in some ways as busy as they were before. Help us to be honest enough to look at our schedules and to look at the pace that we have been and maybe still are living at and ask some tough questions so that we can prioritize the things that matter most and so that we can show dependence not on ourselves but on you. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you, through your Son, paid a price for our sin that we could never pay ourselves. Father, we need you. We rely on you daily. It's in Jesus' name today that we pray. Amen. If you would, go ahead and be getting your communion elements.